We'll go ahead and call to order the March 4th, 2015 special meeting for the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. This is regarding discussion on the vacation rentals. Before we open it for general discussion, just to, you know, provide a little preamble here, because I know a lot of people here are very interested in this. A little bit of the history of why we're here and why this particular proposal is being presented is that the P&Z Commission was asked by the town council to investigate a couple different things. And again, that's our role here, and I'll talk about that in a second. First of all, I'm sure as everybody is aware that there has been a increasing level of complaints in terms of some behaviors, particularly related to parking. And in fact, later on we're going to have as part of our regular agenda a discussion of parking. But also there is a increasing concern that perhaps some taxes aren't being paid. And there's a concern about that, making sure that people are responsible in terms of paying their room occupancy tax and their sales tax. And also, all the properties are actually located in, well, primarily in residential zonings. And each one of our residential zonings, as any city in the United States has, as part of the zoning process, they have permitted uses and they have permitted uses. So over the last 6 months, 7 months, we've been talking about this. And we came to a proposal after a lot of discussions and going back and forth and with the town council, kind of keeping them informed on things, a proposal. Again, there's nothing kind of secret here. We made sure that everybody was aware that this was going to be an open discussion today. A lot of letters were sent out. We made sure it was published. So, you know, everybody is here because of the communication that we certainly got out. A couple things in terms of the process. This is a kind of a very normal process in terms of coming up with ordinances or ideas or regulations or whatever you might want to call it related to planning and zoning. Again, that we go through a process of talking about things, having hearings during our regular meeting, come up with a proposal, put it out for an open hearing like this is to hear your response, talk about it, discuss it more. But ultimately, the decision regarding any sort of ordinance lies with the town council. You know, they're the elected officials here, and ultimately, anything that we send to the town council, there will be another public hearing. And they ultimately will vote on it. So, you know, this is simply a beginning part of this this type of process. Just a couple things, because I know that some people, and we've received a lot of letters here, that some people are fairly charged about this type of issue. Let me assure that as you come up and talk, that everybody up here on the Planning and Zoning Commission has business experience, extensive business experience. We know the importance of revenues. We know the importance of expenses. We know the importance of profit. Many of us have real estate experience. For example, I have about 7 rental properties myself, so I'm very, very familiar with the rental properties. I have them not only here in Curie Beach, but in 2 other locations. And I have to say, one of the other locations, I have to go through a process and a series of permitting far, far stricter than what we're proposing here. So this is not an unusual type of situation. Most important, though, is that everybody up here are your neighbors. You know, we've lived here a long time in Curie Beach. We are not government bureaucrats. We all have other jobs. We come to here once a month to look at a number of different issues. Our sole interest is in the quality and the betterment of life here in the town of Curie Beach. All of us do have extensive experience in planning and zoning type of issues. And again, all of you have made investments here in Curie Beach, and I would dare say that the reason that you were attracted to Curie Beach and made significant investments like I have and everybody else up here is because of the quality of life here. And to a very large extent, the quality of life is due to the process that we're going through today. So as we have folks come up here and talk, you know, I'd like to just keep that in mind, that we are your neighbors, we're not government bureaucrats. We all live here. We come together once a month to deal with these issues. The process is a very long process, and ultimately, anything that comes out of the Planning and Zoning Commission will ultimately go to the town council, another public hearing, and certainly a vote there. So this is actually a beginning part of this particular process. All right, given that we have a lot of time and the special meeting is scheduled for half an hour, we can certainly go longer than that. We have, I believe, it looks like about 10 people signed up to speak. What I'd like to do is limit each person to 3 minutes, if possible. We do have a timer up here, just so we don't kind of, you know, go on too long. Without any further ado, if it's okay with the members, that we'll go ahead and bring up our first person. Is that okay? And the first person is Donald and Audrey Lindsay.
Was that advertised that you had to sign up to speak?
No.
I don't believe it.
No, it wasn't advertised. I mean, you can still sign up if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good evening, gentlemen, and folks, concerned folks. I'd like to refer to the article posted on Channel 6 News, February the 25th, where the interview was with the PNC chairman, Mr. Galbert. The article states that over a few years, Crew Beach officials said they've received a growing number of complaints about short-term rental properties for excessive noise, disorderly conduct, vandalism, overcrowding, and the list goes on. Mr. Galbraith also stated not everyone is doing this, it's only a small minority. I'd like to point out that, and surely you guys know that Crew Beach already has specific town ordinances that address excessive noise, disorderly conduct, and vandalism. So why is Crew Beach P&Z planning additional and specific ordinances that penalize and singles out all the Crew Beach citizens and property owners who occasionally rent out their homes for other families and friends for a beautiful vacation on Pleasure Island? I'd like to say, please, P&Z, find a way to address this minority issue and not place a burden on all the people that are trying to rent their vacation property. I'll just say, in contrast to the nightly reservations offered by most hotels, motels, vacation homeowners generally require several days and weekly reservations. These extended day reservations allow vacation rental guests time to unwind, relax, and enjoy a beautiful Atlantic Ocean, dine in Crew Beach restaurants, spend their money in the retail shops, toss a fishing line in the ocean with their kids at the famous Crew Beach Fishing Pier, visit the Civic War Memorial at Fort Fisher and the North Carolina Aquarium. These are only a few of the many ways that guests of vacation rentals support the local economy. Additionally, to contrast the one-sided comment made by the PNC chairman in the Channel 6 News interview, the list of Crew Beach benefits to the local economy made by vacation rentals and their vacation guests goes on and on. In the interest of time, I won't read the comments made by the readers of the Channel 6 News article. However, I will say that none of the 13 or so comments were very complimentary, and in fact were not complimentary, of the PNC proposal. Another article on Channel 3 News quotes Town Mayor Dean Lamoth as stating parking is the biggest issue. The same article quotes a local realtor, Jim Ring, as being sympathetic when the larger homes rent to 20 people or more, with the large number of cars that brings to that location. Ring also stated the part about a rental application, however, is possibly taking it too far. Amen for Mr. Ring. So what are the true facts leading up to this unprecedented attack on Crew Beach property owners and vacation rentals by the Town Council and the P&Z? The mayor of P&Z needs to get together and determine if they intend to single out and punish all citizens and property owners of vacation rentals, or just a few offenders. Obviously, we would prefer it be the latter. I'd say, please get creative and address the real problem. After all that has properly identified, and with the real facts. A wise man once told me, Lindsay, if you don't get the facts, they will get you. You're taking my 3 minutes.
That's actually, we're beyond 3 minutes now.
My wife made a very good suggestion, and as an example for a very simple permitting process. Why not require an individual permit when large groups, say a certain number of people, for large parties, weddings, and so forth, are being held at any residence or any other town venue? This would make sure that included in that singled out permit that those folks would have identified places that the 20 or so cars could park. It could be at church parking lots, town hall parking lot here or wherever, but that should be identified.
And, so, again, we do want to stick to the 3 minutes because we have a lot of people that want to talk. I mean, if that's okay.
I would like to just make sure that you guys are listening, as well as the town council, that it only takes a very simple ordinance to make sure that the offenders are adequately covered and that the process is simple enough and not impact the general population of vacation rental owners.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let me make just a quick comment since you referenced me in the paper. That's one of the problems I've learned from a long time of interviews when you have a half-hour discussion and one sentence ends up in the paper. So I'm sure as anybody who's had an opportunity to talk in the paper, I mean, that sometimes the full meaning doesn't come out. But anyway, that's a separate issue.
I must make this last comment. Although some of my comments may seem harsh for the PNC board, it's really not intended that you take it personally or that I take it personally. We really do appreciate your hard work and dedication in all that you do to make our Fury Beach home and other places of business safe and for the enjoyment of the public at large.
Thank you. Okay.
Where did you say you could still sign up to speak?
I got it right here. Again, we've got 10 people, so what I might suggest is that let's go through the 10 people, and if you want to contribute perhaps something different, you know, that's certainly, but, you know, I mean, we do have a limited time, you know, of course, but everybody has a right to speak, of course. All right, this looks like, and excuse me, it looks like Ed Ruth, or
you.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, stop the line. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Ida Ruth, as everybody's heard, and I'm an owner at Palmer Realty over here in Curie Beach on Fort Fisher, and I'm here to represent approximately 128 of our area real estate professionals and to speak against the proposed vacation rental ordinance. And specifically, we have a total of 10 issues with the VRO, and myself and some other colleagues are going to articulate that here who have signed up tonight. And then at the end, we can provide you with copies of those issues that we've put together. So first, the town's authority to impose a vacation rental permit requirement is questionable considering the North Carolina General Statute 160A-424C. Any gray area would seem to be eliminated by a later passed provision, Statute 168-394, concerning the town of Cornelius. We recommend the commission seek legal advice whether the town has authority even to adopt the VRO. This is a critical threshold step that, in our opinion, would have been well advised to have been completed before being publicly proposed. So our question is, has the legal counsel weighed in on this issue? And if so, we would request a copy of that legal opinion if possible. The VRO requires vacation rental owners to prospectively consent and authorize code law enforcement officers to enter upon and investigate rental properties. Specifically, Section 8I4 of the Vacation Rental Ordinance would require the rental permit applicants to sign a certification that states the owner of the vacation home consents to and authorizes the town's code and law enforcement officers to enter into the premises and into the vacation home for the purpose of investigating and reviewing complaints of alleged noncompliance with the provisions set forth herein. Well, this provision unreasonably requires that vacation rental owners set forth or give the town broad prospective consent to enter into the rental property, including the interior of the dwelling, to investigate any further claim that a violation has occurred. This type of prospective consent requirement does not appear to exist anywhere else in town code. Moreover, the vacation rental ordinance itself does not explicitly authorize code and law enforcement officers to enter a vacation rental property for the purpose of investigating complaints. So what is the basis for requiring that the rental owner give prospective consent to investigation that is not expressly authorized by the VRO? It's kind of confusing. In addition, it's unclear what notice, if any, must be given to the owner and tenants of a vacation rental property before an officer enters the property. From the perspective of the affected rental, rental property, owners and tenants, this poorly defined entry and investigation provision might raise concerns about the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which safeguards the right of people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. Even the outdoor area of a person's property immediately around the home may be protected by the Fourth Amendment, depending on whether the person has a reasonable expectation of privacy in that area. While we are not attorneys, myself or any of the other real estate professionals and people that put this document together to practice in North Carolina, it would appear that the prospective consent requirement for Section 8I4 is unreasonable and should be eliminated from the vacation rental ordinance. We encourage the commission to consult with legal counsel as to whether this Section 8 satisfies the requirements of the Fourth Amendment. I appreciate your time.
Sorry.
While the next one is coming up, I'd just like to make the comment that we do have a permit, and the permit is on file at, in the New Hanover County office as it relates to the
RLT.
Room occupancy tax. And we file that every month that we have rental business.
Hey folks, I'm Ann Bratsky. It's kind of weird that I'm coming right after Ia because we are business partners and then some. I also own Palmer Realty. I also have been in P&Z, and I'm very involved in many of the activities that go on in this community. I'm also a resident of Curie Beach, and who knows, maybe I'll go for council, I'm not too sure. But the two sections that I was going to speak about specifically is I'd like to see some facts, or the VRO, we would like to see some facts of if it is really true that there are complaints, that there is excessive noise, if that there is overcrowding, disorderly conduct, vandalism, that negatively impacts our community, we'd like to see the written proof. You know, having that information, knowing that information, yeah, it's real noisy over there on weekends, show me the facts. How many times have the police been there? What's really going on? How many times has garbage been going over? How many people were in the, whatever the situation? We'd like to see some of the facts.
I'd like to give an amen to that as well.
How many times is it a rented house? How many times is it a hotel motel?
Okay, let's just follow the format of the speaking.
And interestingly enough, I also happen to be on the marketing committee, so going on both Curie Beach and also New Hanover County. So going from this perspective, I helped put together this little clip about what Curie Beach is, and it's Welcome to Curie Beach, small wonder, big playground. So here we are on one side, P&Z is asking, or council is asking us to do certain things. Curie Beach does offer a lot. We give a lot of information. We encourage day trippers to a certain degree. We hope that you will find your visit to our town, and this is in the small wonders of Curie Beach. We hope that you'll find your visit to our town so enjoyable that you'll decide to stay longer. In fact, we hope that you will make Curie Beach your vacation destination of choice. We don't find this kind of beach anywhere else. so we encourage you to come and relax. Contrary to the tourism-friendly statement, the proposed vacation rental ordinance would negatively impact the dollars of local tourism and the local economy driven by the core of the meaning of this residential and this resort community. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Bob McCoy. Speaking on one of the real issues about adding some clarity to the Section 8D, it talks about the number of occupants. You talk about two per bedroom plus four. And then you say, or what it will reasonably support. So either it should be the number or reasonably support should be taken out. That's a little unclear. Also, 9B and 9C, the ordinance is unclear. And also, just as a side note, just like I say, most of the realtors I've talked to are not aware of the problems. We're aware you do have problems, but we're thinking it must be defined as some specific houses. And any of us, I don't want overcrowding. We don't want too many cars. We don't want places trashed. So we would like to know, and we think we can work this out without going to all this red tape. We just feel like your goal would be our goal, and we think we can iron this out without the additional expense to the taxpayers.
Okay, Tommy Tucker.
Tommy Tucker, I live at 707 Harper Avenue, and for 42 years during the day at 201 Harper Avenue at Tucker Realty. Through the years, we have been involved in ownership, property management, of course, real estate and brokerage in general. We sold our rental business in 2001 to Mr. Bob McCoy and his wife and their company. During that time, very interesting point in our history that affects this situation. In 1999, I believe it was, there was a rather resounding North Carolina Supreme Court ruling regarding porch or debt collapse that had taken place at the Outer Banks. About 30 people getting a family portrait taken when the 2-3-story high debt collapsed. People went to the hospital. There were some crippling injuries, as I understand it. Ultimately, then they again went to the North Carolina Supreme Court, and they ruled there was nothing in common law or statute that required a property owner to provide a vacation rental in fit and habitable condition, such as you would be required by statute in a long-term rental. But they did comment, the Supreme Court commented, that this issue was ripe for legislative action. That's a strong signal, supposedly. As it turned out, the Vacation Rental Managers Association, which is now folded into the North Carolina Association of Realtors, had legislation already introduced in our state legislature, and it got legs. So about June of 1999, this legislation was passed. And here I am in rental business with 150 or so units, maybe close to 100 of them, vacation rental units. Reading this and knowing that January 1, 2000, we were going to have to implement this. Took several months working with our attorney. I had a copy of the vacation rental agreement that we came up with finally and forgot to bring it. But one of the imposing and sobering parts of that required vacation rental agreement that had to be in writing, even one night rental, unless it's nominal consideration, had to be in writing, stated that this rental is subject to the North Carolina Vacation Rental Act, Chapter 42A. I'm misquoting a little bit, but that any material breach of this contract can result in an expedited eviction, which is 48 hours. Now, if you can imagine, you have a neighbor who rents his home And let's say it's year-round rental. And all of a sudden, people move in, and let's say they like to party. They like to have company come down all the time. And some of these issues come to pass. And the landlord ultimately has to do an eviction. That can take a month. It can take more. But let's say more or less a month. Expedited eviction, you wait at 5 p.m., and when the magistrate's closed downtown, you can go to a local magistrate, get everything taken care of, and within 48 hours, that tenant is out of there. So, it's something to think about. Would you rather have a house near you or next to you that's long-term rental or short-term vacation rental? The smoothest year I ever had in almost 30 years of rental business with some rentals, vacation rentals, was the year 2000. We had no complaints that I know of regarding anything such as what this issue addresses, because we had so many things spelled out, including what would be a material breach of that contract. There were so many things spelled out. And I dare say if you go to any of the websites and look at the rental agreements, and again, by law, that big clause must be on the front page. It must be prominent. So we had ours in bold and caps and all that. I don't know who would sign that agreement. I mean, we really had concern whether or not it would kill the rental business. You know, who would sign such a strong agreement? But you know what? People did sign it. And the problems that we had, to small degrees, usually from year to year, it just didn't happen that year. Now, we sold the rental business to, again in 2001, so we didn't have 10 years to test that rental agreement, but that 1 year was wonderful. And the strength of the Vacation Rental Act, I just think, is hard to overlook. And I think that needs to be really emphasized. If you study that vacation rental agreement, the typical vacation rental agreement, study Chapter 42A, it's powerful. So I know I've used up my time. I'm just going to read a little bit more here, but I'd rather just really talk about the impact I thought Chapter 42A had on our business and also the rental industry. And our state was the leader in our country. We were first in the nation to have a statewide vacation rental act, and we became the model for the nation. And so I think with the resources that law enforcement has, Chapter 42A, given the landlord or his agent powers that they have, the North Carolina Department of Revenue, if there's rentals going on, there's no rental sign out there, and you check with the Department of Revenue.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, that's 6 minutes, just in case you're
okay. Let's kind of keep it there. Keep it good, okay. I'm trying to let some flexibility, but yeah, 6 minutes. So,
can we get some air
you.
In here? Open the door or window. Is
the door open? The door open. All right, Deco. Deco.
Hope I don't pass out. My name is Dee, and I own Island Realty, and I operate it. I've owned property in Cory Beach for over 20 years. I've had 17 properties for oceanfront vacation rentals. I know and understand all the issues that have occurred over the years. Most of these issues have actually stemmed since the early 40s when it became a vacation rental destination. Parking's been an issue. As a realtor, we have a Vacation Rental Act that is regulated by North Carolina Real Estate Commission and the North Carolina State Law. We follow it as a realtor. We pay our taxes. We also ensure that the properties are safe, up to code, and we also make sure that there's not over-occupancy. Now, do sometimes we have more cars at a vacation rental? Absolutely. Most of the people that come here have family that live here. Their children have left this area for areas where they can better prosper economically and perhaps educationally. They come back here, they rent, and they have their parents come and visit for the day. So sometimes we do have the extra cars. Now, what I recently learned, even though I've lived here for off and on for over 20 years, is I tell my tenants, my vacation rentals, if you have an extra car, park in the white lines. Well, I just learned last week, you can't park there for more than 24 hours. Well, really? I would rather have a vacation rental person park in a white spot for a week than have that spot turn over 10 or 12 times a day with transient people that you don't know who they are. Let's try to figure out a way to fix that. Also, understand that many of the properties up and down Fort Fisher Boulevard are grandfathered in. They're older homes that have two cottages on their lots. Where do they park? If they can't park in that white spot, that white designated line spot, are we going to now tow these people who are long-term tenants? We're not only impacting the vacation rentals, we're impacting the long-term rentals. I manage 40 long-term rental properties in Curry Beach alone. So we are impacting not only vacation rentals, we're also impacting the long-term rentals. That may be the older cottages that we manage. The Vacation Rental Act, it has everything in it that we need. The thing that I struggle with is, where are the facts? I have not heard how many incidents with the police, how many cars had to be towed, how many noise ordinances were abused. We can't manage and indoctrinate laws or propose laws unless we understand where the issues are coming from. I'm not saying we don't have them, but let's work as a team, as a town. Let's band together, get the realtors together, get the homeowners together, and first sit down and talk about where are the major issues. Is it one house? Is it 20? Is it 10 houses or is it two? Is it two cars or is it 40 cars? Let's work together before we overregulate a town. We already have that in D.C. We do not need it in this small little town.
Okay, we're at 7 o'clock now. We've got to do something in a formal way here. So, first of all, I have to say, you know, I'm a professor at UNCW. I teach in the Cambridge School of Business, and I get a lot of debates sometimes with folks that aren't from the United States, and this is exactly what democracy is about. You know, I have to tell you that everybody up here is listening. We have several attorneys here that are listening. I mean, feel very good that this is exactly what and why we actually do this, why we have an open hearing. So, but we need to follow a format, okay? And at 7 o'clock, there was the regular meeting that was scheduled. So, what I need to do is I need to call it to order, and then we're going to recess the regular meeting so we can continue with this particular meeting. So just a little bit of formality. Is that correct, Ms. Miller?
That's fine.
Okay. That's all right. So I'm going to go ahead and call the regular meeting of the March Planning and Zoning Commission to order, and I will make a motion to recess it until we finish the special hearing. Is there a second for that?
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Okay, so the meeting is recessed until we finish the special hearing now. All right, next person on the list is Mr. Richard Manning.
Richard Ganham, I live in Seawatch. I guess I'm probably going to be the only minority person here today because I actually am in agreement with some of the things you guys have suggested. I know personally in our neighborhood, we don't have a whole lot of full-time residents. We have mainly part-time residents. Not everyone rents their home, but a lot of people do. Some rent themselves. Some go through services. You know, the main issue that we've had, of course, relates back to the number of people in the home. I know you guys have proposed two adults per bedroom plus four other adults. And then the other thing that I don't agree with is you have a stipulation that kids under 18 don't count. I personally have seen some youth groups, teenagers, obviously under 18, with two or three adult supervision, people staying in the home with 30 or 40 people staying in a five-bedroom home. That puts a strain on parking, puts a strain on other services, and personally, I don't see what the deal is about paying a fee. Seems like there's lots of realtors here. I haven't seen many homeowners here. Homeowners that don't rent their homes. Anyways, I mean, you know, it seems to me, I'm sitting here listening to both sides of it, and you know, I don't oppose people renting their homes. I just would like to see a little bit more control personally. You know, we do have a parking issue that was discussed last month. I think they kind of correlate together. And, you know, having a fee, you know, I think, you know, listening to this, I mean, I just got to say, it sounds like to me everybody's concerned about taking money out of their own pockets and not what's best for the city.
Don't you have an HOA?
You're wrong, sir.
We do have an HOA.
Listen, okay. You had your 20 minutes. I guess I can have my 5 minutes.
Let's not have a debate. I mean, let's give everybody a chance to talk. Whether you agree or disagree with them, let's just talk.
You know, you guys proposed a fee. You know, I don't know what it was. I think it was $500 or $200. And to me, I don't know that it's been established. But to me, if you're renting a home on the oceanfront or in here, I know people in our neighborhood get $2,500 to $3,500 a week. Yeah, they rent it 10 weeks out of the year. So, you know, if you're making several thousand dollars a year, I don't see what the big deal is about having a fee that would help offset some of the extra things that the city's having to do.
Nobody's mentioned
it.
Let's not have a debate.
Whatever. There was supposed to be an application fee. Okay. But anyways, I'm saying, hey, I'm one guy here. I'm for it. You know, the rest of you guys can be your opinion. That's my opinion. So thank you.
Mr. Bill Moon.
Yeah, you're right. Because I should put my glasses on.
My name is Bill Moore, but it may be Moon if it gets me under pressure. I'm Bill Moore. I live at 2003 Surf Rider Court. I'm the president of Ocean Dunes Homeowner Association, and I'm here to just share some information with you. The association has taken no formal stand on this operation. However, just some points of information. First of all, as far as the realtors are concerned, we have had a few isolated incidents where we've had to call the police for rowdiness, whatever else. The police have come. To the credit of the realtors, when we get in touch with them, they handle it as quickly and appropriately as possible. So it doesn't become a big issue for us along those terms. So that is true. Now, what I'd also like to point out, and the reason I'm really here, I have some concerns the way how this proposed thing is written. For example, I know one of your stated purposes is to, you know, you can basically tell an owner, if your roof's leaking, if your deck's not safe, you can't get a permit, you can't function. Well, the problem when you have a condominium association is the owner doesn't own the roof, doesn't own the deck. It's the association that does. So if you tell me as the association president I can't rent, I don't rent. So you're holding that owner accountable for something he has no control of his problem. So I think you need to look at how you've written it and, you know, look at fixing it in such a way that an owner of a condominium who basically owns from the paint in and the ceiling and the floor, everything else belongs to the association, and won't get into any more specifics than that, you can't hold accountable for a leaky roof, you can't hold accountable for a deck you may consider unsafe. So with that said, thank you.
Just a real quick factual thing, in terms of the fee, I believe that the ordinance that's being proposed has no fee in it. It simply says it'd be set by the council. When we were talking last month, we were thinking $25 or $50. The word 100 never came up. Let me assure you about that. So, all right. Now I'm afraid to. Okay. Michael Becker?
I'd be paying.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey there. Good evening. I'm a new resident. I just bought here in November, right down here on K Avenue, 402. And it was interesting to receive the ordinance, but I appreciate everyone's perspective that stepped up here. Obviously, some people did some really good homework. Pretty, you know, some of the things that I would have brought up were all there, so I'm not going to take a lot of time. But after I read through the ordinance, I really, you know, I was trying to think, okay, what kind of analogy really comes to mind with, and I get you all are trying to help and trying to do good things, but I kept thinking, you know, there was some core issues in that ordinance, and there were some other far-reaching things. And the only analogy I could come up with, you know, if my knee hurts and I go to an outpatient doctor, they're going to apply anesthesia to the knee because that's the problem area. They want to go in and fix that area. That ordinance reads like you want to apply anesthesia to the whole body in hopes. I don't really need to stay up. I mean, that's kind of, I'm that type of guy. I'm a real boil it down, keep it simple kind of person. And I do thank everybody else for their opinions and all their perspectives that they brought up here. And thank you for my minute. I hope.
Heather Jarman?
That's right.
Okay.
I'm Heather Jarman with BASE, and we represent building, real estate, and development across southeastern North Carolina. So first of all, thank you, Chairman, for allowing this public input. And we at BASE, we value our working relationship with local governments throughout our areas of coverage, and we strive to work collaboratively with you. BASE, we've been in contact with the town, including the mayor and some of the council members regarding this issue. Our concern in this case is dealing with legislation that was passed in 2011 that clarifies and limits local government authority to conduct residential rental inspection programs. It seems pretty clear that in North Carolina, General Statute 160A.424 precludes such rental regulations. And specifically, Section C speaks to what the town has the authority to do. So from a legal standpoint, and we're not attorneys, we are concerned with the proposed regulation. And then on a personal note, there have been references to this regulation being similar to regulations in California. And I think one thing we all can agree on is that we're not California, nor do we want to be California. And that we're Curie Beach, and we strive to be Curie Beach, where we can maintain a balance between family and tourism, given how vital tourism is to our beach community. And then we look forward to working with you on finding a resolution that will meet that balance and to not move forward with the proposed regulation. Thank you.
That takes us to the end of this, but several people mentioned that they want to speak. What we'd like to have you do is, how many people still want to speak? Okay, about four or five? Okay. Probably the best thing is put this back up there and have them sign it. So if we could, we'd like to speak next. Somebody wants to speak next? Okay. Just make sure you put your name.
Do you need a pen?
There's one. Okay.
Okay, Well, folks are writing, just again, a quick comment. Hopefully everybody here can appreciate the difficulty of writing an ordinance that really works and, you know, with everybody. And again, this is the process that we do go through to be able to write ordinances like this, or not. All right, let's go ahead and continue. Okay, next, and just go ahead and announce your names.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Jen Walls, and I'm not very good at public speaking. In fact, I get very nervous. So, but I lived in Curry Beach for 15 years, and long before I got into real estate, and I've lived within, I guess, a half a mile of here in Curry Dunes and Beach Walk, and now I live on North 4th Avenue, and I purchased a duplex, and I rent out one side seasonally, and I live in the other side. So I see the people who come in and rent my place every summer. I'm going on my third year now. I have never had a problem. There has never been a complaint, never been the police called. I mean, believe me, I live there. I have my children there. And, you know, I certainly, if there was something going on, I would have been the first one on the phone. Let's see. And now, with regards to people who live in communities with HOAs, I don't know if that's where the problem is, because we still don't know where all of these complaints are coming from. But if you live in a community with an HOA, you should take it up with your HOA board, because they, trust me, they have, HOAs have a lot more power than you know. They can enforce the rules. So for the person who lives in, right, you should talk to your HOA. And the thing with ordinance is this is the last thing. And if they're not very effective, then you can always vote in new board members. Well, also, I do depend on the income. I wanted to stay in Curry Beach. This is where I raised my children. So when I saw the opportunity to buy a duplex and rent out one side, it covers my mortgage. And I'm recently divorced, and, you know, I'm in real estate, and, you know, it's feast or famine with that. But at least I can take comfort in the fact that my mortgage is paid for by my rental. The last thing I want to say about new ordinances, if we already have mechanisms in place that address these things, such as the ordinances that are already here with regards to noise and parking, and then the North Carolina Vacation Rental Act, why don't we, you know, delve into those, see what we can use there and enforce those rather than creating a new ordinance? Because when you create a new ordinance, oftentimes, because they, I mean, like you're seeing now, it's hard to write it and have everyone agree. So you often create more problems than solve them when you're creating a new ordinance. So I think we should just deal with what we have and try to find ways to enforce it and work together, and maybe with the HOAs too.
Mr. Luke Waddell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for extending the allotted time for us to be able to speak. My name is Luke Waddell. I am the manager for Intracoastal Realty's vacation rental programs in Rachel Beach in Carolina and Curry Beach with over a couple hundred properties. Just wanted to touch base on a couple of issues, and thank you for all your time. When we begin a discussion to create a policy, I think it's important to engage with the local affected stakeholders. Of course, that's everyone that's here present, yourselves included. As a representative of the Vacation Rental Managers Association, which is a 40-year-old association, I personally would be willing to help organize our local stakeholders to come up with best practices and assist you guys in creating an ordinance that would be beneficial to the community as a whole. When looking at best practices around the county, we see that regulations that achieve the highest rate of compliance are policies which are fair, effective, and easy to follow. Regulations that are onerous or hastily adopted can drive the industry underground. There are a lot of travelers visiting our areas, all year aware, who are looking for this type of accommodation that we readily provide. I believe the stakeholders of the vacation rental or traditional short-term rental industry should assist in the creation of a fair and effective regulation for the benefit of an entire community. And I'm happy to put myself out there to assist in any way possible. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Richard Whitaker.
Hi, I'm Richard Whitaker. I reside at 503 North Fort Fisher Boulevard. I've been a resident of Curry Beach for about 5 years now. Live up on my property. I also rent out the first floor for vacation rentals. I use vacation rental by owner website as well as Airbnb. Unlike most of you, except for you, I know who I'm renting to. I have rules already in place that number of people that are allowed to stay in my property. And this is my third season. I've not a single problem because I know who I'm renting to. I know what to expect, and people know what to expect of me too. You opened the session stating several of the reasons for this ordinance. And one of the reasons was with the, you know, increase with traffic and trash and stuff like that. I'm sure the council is going to, and the committee will provide us with that information that we've requested. Also, the other item was you, financial reason. Are we collecting the taxes? Two separate issues. Trying to, you know, if you aren't collecting taxes, that's a problem. But it shouldn't be, you know, those laws are already in effect. And they need to be enforced if they aren't. So I pay mine every month, just like everyone else does here. So, again, the ordinance is broad-reaching. It's looking, in my eyes, to cover maybe some small sins that there are already laws and ordinances that are there to take care of. Thank you.
Jane McDonald.
Before I get started, I just want to say I'm kind of coming from a different perspective and a little bit of a different ask on the BRO. I'm Jane McDonald. I'm here representing the Cape Fear Coalition for a Drug-Free Tomorrow. The coalition is made up of parents, youth, schools, university, businesses, hospitals, health department, and other community members. The coalition has been working to prevent underage drinking and youth prescription drug use in New Hanover County since 2008 through working to reduce access and promote policy change. Thank you for taking the time to hear our recommendation and for taking steps to address a significant underlying contributor to underage drinking in our county. Underage drinking is a high-risk activity from which can come many negative serious outcomes. According to the CDC, 35% of high school students in the U.S. consumed alcohol in the past 30 days. In New Hanover County, youth was found that 41% of our youth reported consuming alcohol within the last 30 days. Nationally, 21% reported that they consumed 5 or more drinks in a row in the past 2 weeks. The definition of binge drinking, locally, that percentage is 28%. Our local culture, tied to the beach, laid-back attitude, vacation state of mind were all cited in the 2014 coalition study as a contributing to underage drinking in our county. We are here to ask that you include specific language in the proposed vacation rental ordinance, Article 3, Item C, permit conditions to identify as a violation of state law under engage in disorderly or illegal conduct. First, the provision of alcohol persons under 21. Second, the possession of alcohol by persons under 21. And third, the consumption of alcohol by persons under 21. Across our community, rental properties have been found to often become the site of underage drinking parties. complaints, granting a range of nuisance complaints for noise, debris, and barking. These complaints result in costly and time-consuming enforcement responses and often ill will. This proposed ordinance provides Curry Beach with opportunity to get out ahead of many of these troublesome issues by spelling out underage alcohol provision and use of prohibited behavior. Just as many hotels have guests initial a statement affirming that they are aware that there is no smoking policy, we ask that Curry Beach include language in this ordinance to prohibit underage alcohol provision, possession, and consumption by renters and their guests, and have all tenants clearly acknowledge and affirm the inclusion of this provision by signature initial. On behalf of the Cape Fear Coalition, thank you for your time.
Final speaker is Bill
Abbs.
Abbs.
My name is Bill Adams. I own a house on 450 North Fort Fisher, which I rent out. And I just want to say that currently I pay my occupancy tax, I pay my state tax. My current contract has everything in it that you would like to have in a contract. The thing that I mainly disagree with is the part of what you said in your findings is that the transitory nature of the issues make it hard to enforce. Well, it's the same deal with me. If I have a tenant who gets out of hand and causes some kind of trouble, I can't enforce anything with him. I don't believe I'm the one that should have to be the enforcer in that case. I don't think a civil penalty for me is fair. I think that if there's a problem at the house, then the police should come to it. They should get the address, name, the people in the house, and then they can pursue it if need be. The Vacation Act doesn't let me take any money for security deposits other than for damages to the house. I can't say if you call, if the police come and I get a citation, that I'm going to take $250 out of my payment. Other things, just three things on the findings of the council. You forgot to mention that there is revenue from the town merchants, from people that come and stay at my house. There's also revenue for the town with the occupancy taxes. The statistics we talked about earlier, I would personally like to see the statistics on where these problems occur. I'm lucky enough to meet the people that stay in my house, size them up, and understand them, and it's probably a lot easier than it would be for rental agencies doing that. That's it. Oh, sorry. Number of people in a home, you mentioned that you could have as many as you want, 18 and under. It's not written right. I don't know how you can say that, because a lot of times people in that age group are more of a problem than the older people are.
That's true.
Trash is a subjective thing. You say excessive amounts of trash. I don't know who is going to objectively put something on that. Parking, I feel, that's the whole town's problem, not just my problem. I think my neighbors are very sensitive about people staying in a parking or even for a moment in their driveway, and I tell them, please do not park in the driveway and don't block the bike path along the side of the road. Other towns adopting this, I called today, Wrightster Beach does not have it, Topsail Island does not have it, Oak Island does not have it, Carolina Beach does not have this. So I'm not sure which ones do. You may not know about that.
California, Annapolis.
California.
California.
There you go, that says it all.
My main objective, and I'll keep it quiet, is that I don't think it's fair to punish me. I do everything I can to ask the people to have, let the people next to them have quiet enjoyment. And I pretty much agree with the things that you're saying. I want those things to happen. Just the way that you have it here just doesn't seem right. It's almost like it's singling out some groups. groups, and maybe, I think there's other ways of doing it.
Okay, just very quickly, a quick comment that many, many states have it, not just California. California does, Oregon does, Washington does, Texas does, Florida does, South Carolina does. I own property in Indiana. Indiana does. It's a very, very common thing. You are absolutely right in terms of your identification of the towns here that do not have it. Okay, let's go ahead and close the special meeting, the public hearing. Is there a motion to close this? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and reconvene the regular meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Okay, before we start, I'm going to move that we go into a closed session under GS-143-318-11A3 for the purpose of consulting with the Planning and Zoning Commission attorney. If anybody is interested, we will reconvene here, and we may talk about this. Okay, so, but right now we're making a motion to have a closed session.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All right, it's going to be a random time.